Michigan State State Representative Mark Meadows. He's on the other end of our line. Mark, how are you?
Hey, I'm really good. How are you today?
Merry Christmas to you.
And to you.
Well, last night, you were part of an auto no-fault reform town hall. You got out in the community. You were with Barb Byram and Joan Boyer. Talk about that.
Well, you know, it was out at the Origami Center, which is a center that treats traumatic brain injuries in Michigan, and it's if you haven't ever been out there, you really should go out and see how they operate. It's pretty impressive. But Joan and Barb and I were out there for a town hall meeting. Gretchen Whitmer was also a host of that, but she had to leave a little bit early. It was astounding, Tony. It was a packed house, and the stories we heard from people who have benefited from Michigan's no-fault law were pretty moving. You know, the things that are proposed to be changed in this law are the things that affect people who are most severely injured in Michigan. And a couple of the speakers there who had actually suffered a traumatic brain injury and had been treated at the Origami Center were very emotional, very moving. The questions from the audience, you know, why are they trying to change this at this time? You know, this has been on the ballot twice. They've asked to change the law twice, and Michigan voters have rejected it. So why this is coming back up again is kind of a mystery, other than when you turn in $1.5 billion profits, maybe you have a feeling that you want to have $2 billion profits instead. So this would increase profits to insurance companies.
Do we know who's behind this legislation?
The insurance companies are behind the legislation, absolutely. The Insurance Institute has been, you know, the major pusher of this legislation. You know, the argument that they make is that it would provide, you know, additional choice to Michigan residents. The choice, though, would be to have less coverage. In other words, as you can probably figure, you know, if the price for $500,000 of coverage is less than the price for $1 million worth of coverage, then you would, you know, you would choose that cheaper coverage if you were younger, probably, or if you were challenged economically. The result, though, is if, you know, it can take 1 second, as one of the speakers said last night, his life changed in a microsecond. When somebody ran a stop sign and he hit that car broadside, he was severely injured. He was paralyzed on one side. It is very expensive to treat these type of injuries. And in Michigan, we developed a plan in 1978 that kept people out of lawsuits, saved money for insurance companies, but provided lifetime health care for individuals who suffer these kind of traumatic injuries. And, you know, Tony, it costs us, each of us who has a car, about $2.25 a week, you know, a total of $145 a year to provide this kind of protection to ourselves. The insurance companies want to change that.
And one of the arguments that you mentioned is something that we've talked about here before, is that people should have choice and not have that choice dictated to them by government.
Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, I've seen that on billboards throughout the state. So, you know, the insurance companies are spending a lot of money to try to convince people that this is an issue of choice, but it's not really an issue of choice. It's not going to lower your insurance rates. It's going to increase the profits of the insurance company. That's what this is all about. It's not about saving you money and giving you choice, because, you know, that choice ultimately ends up being a cost to you and I anyway. You know, one of the arguments is, hey, you know, if they get severely injured and they exceed the amount of money that they've paid their insurance for, they can go on Medicaid or Medicare. Well, you know, who do you think pays for that, Tony? You and I do. And, you know, we'll end up footing the bill in the long run. And it's a lot cheaper if this, you know, about 9 million vehicles in the state of Michigan each contribute $145 a year to pay for this program. They've also said that the program is, you know, not sustainable financially, but they refuse to provide the records to the public so that we can look at those records and determine if they're telling us the truth. You know, think if they're pushing this, they ought to be willing to open up the books and let the public see them, but they refuse to do that. They say they're not a public agency, even though they are created by statute. They're every part of the way they operate is dictated by statute, but they refuse to provide financial information to justify their statement.
So as we speak, where is this legislation?
You know, it came out of committee, and it was a surprise, actually, that it got out of committee because so many of the members on both sides of the aisle were opposed to the legislation, and it has sat there ever since on the House floor. I personally believe that there aren't enough votes to pass this. I've heard that the Senate is even more opposed to this legislation. So I'm not sure what its fate is, but I think people have to be aware that this is sitting out there. You know, we've had a few things happen this year that nobody expected to happen. So, you know, this could come up for vote and, you know, it could pass, although I would hope that it wouldn't.
Mark, do you think this is a case where the lobbyists for big insurance got to a legislator, perhaps someone that they contribute to their campaigns and just changed their mind and got them to try to push this legislation? Or do you believe this is something that the has support?
Well, I think there are some members who believe that there's a financial issue and that, you know, this issue of choice that you mentioned is an important thing for them to advocate. On the other hand, I can't remember who the Speaker of the House was. It might be Tip O'Neill, who said, you know, money is the mother's milk of politics, and I'm sure it plays a role here. One of the members who said that they were opposed to this legislation changed their vote and sent it out to the floor and said, well, we're going to change it on the floor. Well, you know, that's probably not true. You know, there's one other part of this I just got to mention to you, Tony, is that the number two job creator in Michigan is healthcare. You know, when we've looked at the way our jobs are being created, it's number two. And this legislation is the biggest job killer I have ever seen. You know, they're always accusing Democrats of, you know, passing job-killing legislation. This is a hugely job-killing legislation. We have in Michigan some of the best schools in the country to develop occupational therapists, physical therapists, medical technicians, every medically related profession. Michigan is a center in developing. And, of course, we like to think of ourselves as a place where people bring sick people to Michigan to be treated because of the excellence of our healthcare system. Why would a young person get into this? You know, the origami people have said, hey, you know, they had a $5 million expansion project on the books, and they had to cancel it based on the uncertainty related to this. You know, there are so many jobs now. Hospitals and other medical providers are saying, hey, wait a minute. If this goes, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be kind of set adrift in the healthcare industry, and it's going to kill those jobs as well. And this is not the time.
We've been talking
in our history to get rid of jobs.
We've been talking with Michigan State Representative Mark Meadows. Mark, we're going to be calling you back. I want to get you on the program. Just get your take on what's happened over the course of the year. We'll do that in the next day or two.
Okay, great. Hey, Tony, I'll talk to you soon.